So Jesus, we ask in your name that you would please speak to us through those words of scripture. Help us to know how to apply them to our lives so we can follow you more. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to say hello to those of you at 11 o'clock, middle schoolers, high schoolers, all of you guys. Thank you for being here. How do you react when someone gives you a gift? I always feel a bit awkward because I worry that I'm not showing enough gratitude, right? Like I don't want to appear ungrateful, so I thank people over and over and over again because I don't want to appear ungrateful. And my wife knows this about me, and she loves to kind of rub it in and uses it as a way to bug me. So for instance, if someone from my family or from the church or a friend gives us a gift just to bug me, she'll open it and say something like, "Oh, it's not the right color." Ah, that's like squeaky styrofoam to my soul, right? It's like, now she's joking. She's just doing it to bug me, but it works every time. It's so much fun for her. I want to be grateful enough, but according to research, all the research actually, I'm kind of on the right track because all the studies say that people who are grateful are happier. They're less stressed out because they're focused on what they do have rather than what they don't have. Right? Even physically healthier than people who aren't grateful. And that's a little bit the topic of the text that we just read. So the background is God has gotten the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt through the leadership of Moses, and they're about to go into the promised land that God promised them. And before they do, Moses has some instructions. And he says, "When the Lord your God brings you into the land with flourishing cities you did not build, wells you did not dig, and vineyards you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." So they're about to move into the land where the Canaanite tribes had been already, and the Canaanite tribes before them had dug wells and planted fields that the Israelites would benefit from. And Moses says, you got to be grateful for that. You didn't do all that yourself. You got to be grateful for that. And in order to be grateful, and therefore healthier, happier, less stressed out, Moses is saying, to be grateful, you got to remember you did not do all of it on your own. This passage in particular is very meaningful to me when I first came here because I inherited this amazing church with amazing people and amazing resources built by many of you and by my predecessors. I had nothing to do with that. I knew I was drinking from wells that I did not dig, which made me grateful. Right? Grateful for those of you who were part of building this church up over the years. Grateful to my three predecessors in this role. And just parenthetically, I just want to say, next month, this church will be 64 years old, and I am only the fourth senior pastor in 64 years. That says something, right? That says that when we come, we kind of stick around because y'all are great, and God is moving in such cool ways that we don't want to go anywhere else. It's either that or you don't know how to get rid of us. It's one of the two. But how do we get rid of this guy? None of us got where we are in school or sports or work or spiritually or emotionally or financially or socially. None of us got where we are on our own. Yes, our hard work and our talents contributed to our successes. Yeah, for sure. But everyone had some help along the way. You know, we're in this country, for starters, where there's so many opportunities. Not your call, right? For most of us, we were born here. We had teachers, coaches, parents, friends, business contacts, mentors, lucky breaks, opportunities that came our way that were not of our own making. And if we don't remember that we are drinking from wells we did not dig, if we don't remember to be thankful to the help that we received along the way, pretty quick we start to believe our own PR, right? Like, I did it all myself, on my own. I'm a self-made man. Awesome. That relieves God of that responsibility, right? We become judgmental, we become kind of arrogant people. On top of that, usually perpetually unhappy, focusing on what we don't have rather than on what we do have. Moses says here, when you all get into the land, you're going to experience some prosperity, right? And prosperity is a good thing, but it's also a dangerous thing if you forget who helped you get there, and especially if you forget God who made it all possible. So remember the help you've received. Dance with the ones what brung you, as we say in Eastern Washington. The other thing Moses says to do here, in order to be grateful, therefore less stressed and healthier and happier, right? To be grateful, dig a well or plant a field for someone else. In other words, pay it forward. Moses says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. In other words, in the normal routine of your life where you live, work, play, or learn, dig spiritual wells for other people. What you've received from God, pass on to God. Help your kids know God. Right? And that responsibility starts primarily with parents. It's every parent's job to pass the faith on to their kids. But every parent needs help doing it. Any parents in here that need help doing that, you know, right? We can't do it all on our own, right? We need help. That's why I'm so grateful for our family life ministries here. My three kids learn to love Jesus in our Sunday school programs, youth programs, kids choirs, right? Learned from people like Mrs. Lisa, right? Yay, everyone loves Mrs. Lisa, right? The other service applauded too when her picture came up, so you just can't tell her I'm talking about her because she wouldn't like that. My kids were in Mrs. Lisa's class when my kids were in preschool, and then when my kids were in middle school and in high school, my kids, all three of them, helped Mrs. Lisa with the preschoolers on Sunday morning. My son is home on break. He's up there right now doing just that, right? All three of my kids did that. Mrs. Lisa has been my kids' pastor their entire lives. But we're not just called to pass on faith to our kids, we're called to pass it on to, well, the whole world, right? In this text, Moses says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Jesus quotes this exact same verse, but he adds something at the end, remember? And your neighbor as yourself. In other words, dig spiritual wells for others. In other words, pass the love of God on forward, right? Plant a tree for future generations under whose shade you will not sit. It's about the legacy that we leave for our kids and for the world. And there are tons of ways to do that, right? We give our time, we give our energy, we give our talents to this, and we give our money. That's right. You came on that Sunday. We're talking about money, right? And don't leave, because I'll see, right? I can see you leaving, right? We got to talk about money. We actually don't do this very much here. We've got to talk about money because it's important, right? There are 500 verses in the Bible on prayer. There are 2,350 verses on money. That's a lot more, right? Jesus talked about money more than anything, more than sex, more than heaven, more than hell. And that's a weird trio. Anyway, because I just noticed that. Walk away, Scott. Just leave it there. Don't add. Okay. He talked about money more than anything because of all the things that can take us away from God, all the things that are false gods that we follow, all the things that can lead us to not love God with everything we have. Money is the top one because we think it can get for us everything that we want, right? The famous fashion designer Coco Chanel said the best things in life are free, but the second best are very, very expensive. But money does not, we all know, it doesn't get us everything we want. So God asks us to give some of it. Just a few chapters after the one we read today, Moses is still talking, still giving advice, and he says, when you finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce, you shall give it to the Levite, those were the religious leaders, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. A tenth. Over and over, the Bible talks about what's called tithing. Give a tenth of everything, a tenth of our money to God's work. And I believe the Bible makes it clear that the first 10% goes to the worshiping community that you are a part of. And here are a few verses that say that. It's a lot of verses that say that. Right? And in the Old Testament, it's actually more than 10% because there are, on top of that, special offerings for the poor, more like 20%. New Testament ups the ante and says that giving should be sacrificial. So for my wife and me, at our income level, we know we need to be giving more than 10%. So we give 10% to this church, right? And then over and above that, we give to Christian organizations we believe in, like Eastside Academy, Jubilee Reach, Compassion International, Whitworth University. We've left this church in our will as part of our Legacy Foundation, which you can also do, right? And this is a command from God to give. And it's for everyone. It's for retired people. It's for working people. It's for middle schoolers and high schoolers. You're part of this too. And you can contribute too. Right? Now, every command that God gives us also has a promise. God never commands anything to make us miserable. There's always a promise, and it will bring us joy. It's always meant to give us a greater life. And there are three benefits that come from giving that I've experienced, and many of you, because you give so generously, have experienced. First, God becomes more real because you see him provide. I got an email from a woman who said that she'd been just dropping a few bucks in the plate every Sunday, but had heard from a lot of people how tithing kind of frees you up from worry because you see God provide over and over. So she decided that she was going to tithe. She didn't know how she was even going to get through the first month, though, because she didn't have a lot of money. So she went online to look at her bank account to see how she could prioritize her spending, and then she noticed this little tab titled Rewards. So she clicked on it and found that she had rewards worth 2 months of tithing right there. And she said, it was either there the whole time and I didn't notice, which says that I'm pretty helpless financially, or it's just a sign from God. And she said, I know it's not always going to work like this, but it was just a reminder that God is with me. It doesn't always work that way, but it does an awful lot work that way. I got dozens and dozens of stories like that from my life and others. Second benefit, you discover you can be happier with less. I talked with a man a while back who said that he and his wife are now giving to the point where it impacts their lifestyle, and he's glad to be doing it. Because he said before that, he and his wife just kept getting more stuff and was kind of wrecking their family. Kids kept expecting bigger, more exotic vacations, you know, more expensive toys. They'd spend all their time with their stuff, not with each other. So they downsized their life, started giving a lot more, and now they're spending more time together as a family. Less is more. Third benefit, you get to be part of changing people's lives. And there's a card you got in the bulletin that kind of lists a few of the ways, if you give here, that you are changing lives. And so many of you do give here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are changing people's lives by what you give. So thank you for doing that. Like a single mom with two kids under two fleeing from domestic violence. And she had to take 4 hours worth of bus rides every day to get to her job and to the daycare, right? So our ministry here, Auto Angels, gave her a car, which meant that she could get to her job, a job that pays better, meant that she had more time with her kids because she wasn't always on the bus going here and there all day. If you give here, you made a huge difference in that family's life. There's Jubilee Reach, which this church started and continues to support, that runs after-school programs and other kinds of programs for under-resourced kids. And to help them out, 85% of kids in Jubilee Reach programs say that their grades improve because of Jubilee. But more than that, 96% say that they have a greater sense that they belonged and that they mattered. And when you look at the stats on teen depression and suicide, that is a very important number. And it is way higher than kids who aren't part of Jubilee programs. If you give here, you are helping under-resourced kids thrive emotionally, socially, academically. That helps break cycles of poverty. Same with Eastside Academy, the alternative school in our campus, right? That they're helping kids overcome addiction or just be able to go to school in a setting that works for them, and because it doesn't always work for them in other places. And there's so much more we could do. Oh my goodness, if everyone in this church tithed, oh my goodness, if everyone gave 10%, so much we could do. There's a couple in our church who, for years, were giving about 1% of their income to the church. And that's about normal for American Christians, 1 to 2 to 3%, not even close to tithe, right? And they were afraid, though, to do more, afraid of what they'd have to give up, the consequences. But they kept praying, God, help us tithe. God, help us tithe. God, help us tithe. Well, it turns out God has a sense of humor. Because this guy, the husband, started his own company, which he was sure was just going to take off in 6 months, but it didn't. Their income shrunk to just a fraction of what it had been, but because their income had shrunk, what they'd been giving all along to the church now was 10% of what they made. So they were tithing. That's one way to get there. Right? But they just kept giving it anyway, right? And they said God provided in ways we never could have imagined him providing. And they were able to pay their bills and lose some of their fear around money because they saw God provide. And they learned to be happy on less. And then over the years, as their income grew, they stayed at 10% and just kept increasing. And they, because they had seen the benefits for themselves, but also because they got to be part of changing other people's lives. Imagine what we could do as a church. There are so many of us. There are 200 homeless kids in the Bellevue School District. If everyone in this church tithed, we could walk into the city manager's office and say, those homeless kids, scratch them off your list of things to worry about. Bell Press got it covered. We're going to get them houses. And then we could move on to Redmond and Issaquah and Renton and Bothell. We have outgrown this space here in modern worship, especially in this service at 9:45. It's packed, unless there's a 10 a.m. Seahawks game, like today. There's like 20 seats. That's amazing, right? Well done, by the way, for coming, and you too at 11. Well done, right? This needs to be bigger, right? If everyone in this church tithed, we could expand this facility and upgrade it without doing a capital campaign. We could support Eastside Academy more. We could support Jubilee Reach more. We could change so many lives. So I am asking you to pray about this. It's about being part of what Jesus is doing. And if you're not tithing, try to get to 10% or as close as you possibly can. My wife and I had the advantage. We began doing this when we were first married and had pretty much no money at all. I was in graduate school. We didn't have much money, right? But we started to tithe. And it turns out that's actually an advantage. Because research shows the more money you have, the less you actually give. In fact, research from Harvard and Syracuse University, people with more money give less as a percentage of their income than people who have a lot of money. And people who have more money are way more likely to use the excuse, I don't have enough money to give, than people with less money. It turns out having more is not the answer. Actually, somehow having more kind of works in reverse. So if you're not tithing, ask God to help you get there or as close as you can. Because when you hear those stories, right, when you hear those stories and the stats that I just rattled off, and there's so many more, don't you want to be a part of that? Don't you want to feel like, yeah, I helped that mom with the two kids and fleeing domestic? Don't you want to be part of that? Right? It's like when you were younger, right? When you were a kid, right? And you were choosing teams for some game, right? It was always so exciting to be chosen for the team, so I've been told. Oh, Bell Press, Jesus has chosen us for his team to partner with him as he renews all things. Don't you want to be part of that? And to help you give more easily and more securely, today we're going to launch, you saw it in the announcements, we're launching a new app today that will help you stay connected to Bell Press, get important information. It also includes a new giving platform through our partner PushPay. And there are instructions in the bulletin on how you can download that app and sign up for the giving platform. Please do that today, and please sign up. You can always continue to give in the plate, but it really is better if you do it this way. And if you can, sign up for reoccurring giving, because that just helps us be way better stewards of what you give if we're not always guessing how much is coming in this month, right? And if technology isn't your thing, there are some people out in the lobby, our Bell Press geniuses, or genii, or whatever you would call them, they're in the lobby there to kind of help you with that. So please, 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 before you leave, download it today, before you go to the parking lot. Download it today, but not now, because I'm still preaching. But later, before you leave. Money is a well we drink from that we did not dig. Yes, we worked for it, but God gave us the talent, the skills, the abilities, the opportunities. It's his. And he says, give back some of it as an expression of gratitude for all the wells you were drinking from that you did not dig. And my wife and I wouldn't even think about not giving, not tithing, because we've seen the advantages for ourselves and for our kids. I remember years ago when my kids were littler, one day taking them down to Pike Place Market, and there was a homeless man there asking for money, and I didn't have any. So my oldest daughter said, I have some money, can I give it to him? And I said, sure. And then my son, who was about 6 years old at the time, said, yeah, I'll give two because grandma gave me too much money and now my wallet is fat. I don't like fat wallets. Let's just pause on the wisdom of that phrase. I don't like fat wallets. Right? Now, fat wallets are not bad, but they're dangerous if you keep all of it. So God calls us to give in order to have more joy, make us more grateful, and to involve us in changing the world in his name. This summer, right before my son went to college, we were in the car driving somewhere, and just out of the blue, like out of the blue, connected to nothing, he just asked the question, how does someone become a saint? Kind of an odd question to ask, right? Just kind of random, right? So I explained the process in the Catholic Church, and then my son said, well, do Protestants have saints? And I said, well, not really, not in the same way. And he said, well, there's always Mrs. Lisa. I almost cried. Because, you know, as a parent, you sometimes wonder, is this faith in Jesus thing we're trying to pass on here, is any of it sticking, right? In that moment, I was like, oh, maybe it's going to be okay, you know? Like, maybe I'm not a total failure as a parent. Because Mrs. Lisa has been his pastor his whole life. And that's why he asked the question. Now, when you can get an 18-year-old guy contemplating the process of canonization and theology of sainthood, you know that you have gotten through. And in that moment, I was drinking from a well I did not dig. Right? You gave so Mrs. Lisa can work here and devote her time to helping our kids, including mine, see Jesus. And in that moment, I was grateful for Mrs. Lisa and grateful for all y'all who made it possible. The church is not an audience to be entertained. It is an army to be empowered. The church is not an audience to be entertained. It is an army to be empowered to participate with Jesus as he makes all things new in our families, in our workplaces, in our schools, and in our world. And we have been part of that here for 64 years, and we will keep being part of that. This church, our church, was planted here when Presbyterian Poobah said it's never going to work, no one was going to go to church in Bellevue. We did it anyway. Our church partnered with villages in Guatemala until they were self-sustaining and could pay it forward. Our church did a capital campaign 13 years ago. The goal was double anything this church had ever raised. The consultant said it was impossible. We couldn't do it, but we exceeded the goal by $2 million, collected all of it, even though part of the giving period coincided with the Great Recession. As I told you back then, that's why you hire consultants, for the joy of proving them wrong. See their consultant little faces fall, right? And out of that, our church started Jubilee Reach and the Center for Champions in Rwanda to help get kids out of poverty. Our church bought houses to house homeless teens. Our church supports an alternative high school. Our church supports New Hope Revival and the Rock Chinese Church to help African and Chinese immigrants thrive and know Jesus. Our church is breaking cycles of poverty on and on and on as we participate with Jesus so that his kingdom comes and his will gets done on this earth as it is in heaven. And the good news is you can be part of it. So if you haven't already, join the team. Because you don't want to be left out. Jesus, thank you, you make all things new. Thank you that you use us to make all things new. Thank you that you use our time, you use our talent, you use our treasure. Thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, help us to be generous, trusting that you will provide, knowing that you have our best interests at heart, and so that we can be part of changing lives here and around the world. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.